2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
You know, they're back-to-back Pac-12 champs going for a three-peat, and that's, you know, that's a big challenge. And so to get back out here today and see the enthusiasm and the excitement was, it's what it's all about.
Is that three-peat mentioned on day one of spring ball?
Absolutely. It was mentioned in January, you bet. Yeah, when we first came back from the break. And nobody's done that since the Pac-12's been around for, you know, the last 15 years or whatever it's been. And that's one of our objectives this next season.
Hey, everybody. Happy Wednesday to you. It's Unrivaled 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Thanks for being with us on the program. Back in the studio again, Scott. Here we are. Ready to do a show?
Hey, I've been ready since we came back in January.
Yeah, man.
I'm ready. Let's go. Let's three-peat.
We do.
This is our third day of the week, right?
It is.
Let's have a third amazing day.
We were champions of this time slot.
Unrivaled.
Champions of this time slot on the station. Monday and Tuesday.
Hey. You know what else? You know what other champions we are right now?
What?
We are bracketologists.
Hey!
We are leading.
Hold on, I haven't checked it today. Are we still winning?
Still winning. Yep. Yep.
My goodness. It's the only.
We're the smartest guys in this room right now.
How does that feel?
It's a small sample size, but still.
The problem is.
We're not small by any stretch of the imagination, but you know.
But the problem is. It's like my 9-year-old daughter is also in the lead in the bracket at home. So it's like you kind of get the same level of like skill picking, you know.
Hey, she's a child savant.
I know. I didn't think much about it. Like I really didn't think much about when we were doing the picking. You just kind of try to you try to hover. I could have very well put Arizona like you did. Maybe that one little thought enters your mind and you go, you know what? I think Arizona is coming back. You know,
yeah,
hey,
you screwed
I think they're
going to Utah State. You know, again, kind of sentimental pick, local team. I wasn't going to pick them.
I know. I said it too.
I was like ready to check it, right? And then Alex creeped into my mind, this little devil Aggies, Alex on my shoulder.
Pick the Aggies. That was me.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's not a bad pick either. I mean, my heavens, it's not a bad pick.
Yeah, Mizzou, until they lose.
Mizzou ended up losing to the 15th seeded Princeton Tigers, man. Come on.
Do you think Utah State would have done better?
Oh, you know, that's always the weirdest thing.
I think they would have.
Maybe. I don't know. But we were talking about this. Who were we talking about this with? It was like the interesting thing about Marches is when you have that first weekend, you only have a little bit of time to prepare for teams. The teams like Princeton on this weekend, yeah, they have the equal amount of time to prepare for their opponent in the Sweet 16, but everybody kind of goes, all right, look, here's how we definitely should not lose this game to Princeton. But either way. You heard the quote at the top of the show. Kyle Whittingham yesterday, first day of fall. Boy, I wish it was fall camp.
Me too.
First day of spring ball for the University of Utah up on the hill yesterday. And just a lot of stuff to really digest. I mean, the program gets bigger and bigger. The pressure gets more and more. And I think this is a guy who's perfect to soak it all up because he has every bit of experience to be able to just kind of roll with anything that's thrown at him, especially in the winter. But, you know, right now, all eyes are on the Pac-12 and anything that happens in the Pac-12. And you want to know where Coach Whittingham is, where his team is, where a lot of his coaching staff is. Let's jump into the program. I'm going to have Scott do a little bit of interpreting of coach speak so we can get started here on some of the things that were said at the first day of Utah spring practice. It's The Cut. Let's go.
The other question. Undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made The Cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The Cut presented by G2G Bars, all natural ingredients, no preservatives. I'm eating one right now. I mean, I'm eating one when I go outside the studio next. I figured out what they taste like, though.
Yummy.
I have the peanut butter chocolate chip one. It's straight up like a
Reese's.
Classy. No.
Oh.
It is kind of the middle of a Reese's. Yeah. It's a classy peanut butter cookie dough that you get out of your fridge.
Oh, classy.
But like a healthy one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is that what classy means, healthy?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, because it's got the protein. You know what your cookies don't have is 18 grams of protein.
No.
But, man, they're good. Check them
out.
You
know what your G2G bar has that a cookie doesn't have?
What?
It doesn't have raw eggs.
Oh, yeah.
You think of the cookie.
That doesn't bother me, though, either.
Raw eggs?
You know, and they're like, oh, don't eat raw eggs. I'm like, yeah. Man.
You can let your eggs sit on your counter for like 30 days.
I know. Trajan Wealth, trusted local financial fiduciaries. You can go to their website, trajanwealth.com. That's TRAJANwealth.com. Scott, some of the things that Coach Kyle Whittingham had to say, I want to get straight into the quarterback conversation. You heard him talking about getting back, maybe three-peating. That is contingent on a lot of things, a lot of factors. How healthy is Cam Rising going to be? And spring's interesting, too, because everyone goes, even if Cam was healthy, you're not going to be getting all of the workouts with Cam taking all the reps. You want to see what these other guys are doing. And speaking of those other guys, he starts naming names, and I was a little bit surprised by some of the stuff when we talked about the hierarchy of kind of quarterbacks getting reps in the spring. Here's what he said.
Well, we want to sort things out and try to get a pecking order. Cam is obviously our number one guy, not taking any reps in the spring, which leaves a bunch of reps for 2 through 5, and so we've got to determine who those five guys are going to be, you know, and it's a complete body of work throughout the whole spring. Got a good start today, but as the reps accumulate, we hope to see some separation and make a determination on who's 2 through 5, once spring ball's over.
When you're the guy that's the backup during this time of the season, when it's the off season, the preseason, all this stuff, this is your Super Bowl.
Like, you better start throwing,
like,
man.
This is your chance because you're not getting those reps later on. And so you have to just in your mind, you have to just all around, you have to bring it. And I think, and I say this every year, and I don't think this year's any different. They talk about a pecking order. They know what pecking order they want. These coaches, they know what pecking order they want. And the pecking order is, I'll just tell you who they want. They want Nate Johnson.
Okay.
I just really believe that's who they want. I think they saw a lot in him a year ago. He's a former Elite 11 guy, which to me doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, we've seen that. Yeah.
It's not, but he was something at some point.
Ask BYU about Tanner Mangum and
Jacob Conover.
And Jacob Conover, yeah.
Well, but I'll tell you what he is. Massively athletic and super fast. I mean, the dude is fast. Okay.
Yes.
And those things can make up for a lot. I mean, you took Anthony Richardson. The dude was fast. And Nate Johnson, you know, has that, which when you're young.
How have you suddenly become a believer in Anthony Richardson? You bought into the media train.
No. I always believed in his ability. I don't disagree with what the media said about him. And that is, he's super inexperienced. I think he would do so much better to stay in school for 2 more years.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And just get a lot of quality reps in the SEC. Are you kidding me? Come on, there's no better place in all of football outside of the NFL.
But if you also have a skill set,
great talent.
If you can go in to the combine and beat everybody's numbers around you, then you know that's also that. You know,
people
you
well are going to fawn over his abilities.
So is that kind of what they get with Nate Johnson too? Is they get fawn over how athletic he is?
Yes, and I think they really want him to be the guy. Now whether he does or not is because. The Utah way is as you have to earn a tremendous amount of trust from Kyle Whittingham if you're going to be his quarterback. You can't be someone who turns the ball over, who throws interceptions that can't consistently produce. You're going to have a tough time, you know, getting anywhere, and rightfully so. I mean, it's not like so you have to. He's just he has the potential, and I think you have to seriously look at that if you're Utah because you've got to match. Bucket for bucket, so to speak, against these elite quarterbacks that Utah's going to face week in and week out in the Pac-12.
Let me let you listen to this one then, Scott. You turn on your interpreting skills here because you're going to have to bust out the Rosetta Stone, man, because the stuff that he's doing with this coach speak, I am trying to understand
find my
everything.
Safety classes.
Here's what Coach said about who is going to be getting those reps and specifically like who's getting the bulk of them. And he did name Nate Johnson, of course, but among others.
Nate and Rose will get the most. We know what Brandon Barnes is. Bryson Barnes. He's a very good player for us. He's done good things, but we know, you know, we have a big sample size on him. But we got to really hone in on Rose and Nate, see what they can do.
Bryson Barnes' high water mark happened in the Rose Bowl
the first year.
Right?
Hold on. Okay, go back and listen again.
No, I don't need to listen again. I've heard this three times already.
He called him Brandon Barnes.
Right.
Corrected it. Yeah. But like if you go, no, I really love working with Alex Keery. I worked with him a long time. He's a nice guy. But I mean, like, there's the part where he tried to pass it off, Scott.
He goes, Nate, and then
Nate and Rose.
And the Rose kid. Yeah, what's his name?
Well, no, so that's
when you don't know the first name of a guy,
okay,
he's toast.
So that's what I'm gonna say. He said Nate and Rose are gonna be getting the bulk of it.
Sure,
they know who Brandon Rose is. Part of the thing is that
Bryson Barnes.
No, but Brandon Rose.
They don't know what he is.
Well, no, I'm saying he knows.
I don't think anyone knows who he is.
Well, that's the thing is you've got a guy coming in. He's the third quarterback apparently on the list. He's the one that he's going to be getting most reps after Nate Johnson this spring.
Where's Mac Howard?
That's the thing. He said 2 through 5. And that's what I was going to ask you is that when he throws out there, we already know what we have with Bryson Barnes.
Yeah.
What is he – like, is he saying he's your number two guy?
Okay, the Washington State game was the very best you're going to see of Bryson Barnes.
Game manager.
If that.
Couple runs that were nice. Yeah.
Yeah, you're not – yeah. I mean, and you were lucky to win that game.
Okay, but is he saying that Bryson Barnes is way out of the running, or is he saying we already know what we have? You know what you have with Cam, and he's injured, obviously. You know what you have with Bryson Barnes. After that, we're looking at is he talking about Nate Johnson being the second-string quarterback?
Basically, what they're saying is we need someone to supplant an average player as our backup quarterback, and we're going to give all of you guys a legitimate shot to do that. Because if Bryson Barnes was really their answer, you know, if he was the legitimate number two.
They don't mention a bunch of other names behind him.
Why in the heck would you not want to be giving Bryson Barnes reps?
And all of them,
because he's not going to get reps during the fall. He's not going to get game reps. These reps in spring football for a quarterback are just gold.
How much of this is managing guys
to say it, basically you've said Bryson Barnes is opportunity at Utah's is gone.
You think so?
I do.
You think he hits the transfer portal?
No.
Why wouldn't you?
Well, because what are you going to do?
Go play football in a place where you'll be able to play
possibly
football?
I don't see.
Well, like, I mean, this is what they do now, right? I mean, this is what these guys do.
I don't. Yeah, Bryson Barnes doesn't seem like.
Maybe he doesn't strike me as that type.
He doesn't see.
But what about a guy like Brandon Rose? You know, How much are they trying to manage those quarterbacks?
It's like the Romney kids that went to BYU. You know, they were never going to be the guy. Not Gunner, but the other Romney. And not Mitt either.
Why is it escaping me too? The quarterback Romney, Baylor.
Because you don't remember their first name because it's not Baylor that important. Romney. I mean, I don't mean to be disrespectful.
And it's because there's multiple.
Right.
But again, Baylor Romney, to your
there
point.
There was George Romney.
Yeah.
He was a
Baylor Romney was.
And then who was the general authority Romney?
I thought that was Mitt. Is he not?
No.
Oh, he's a senator.
Marion G. Romney.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
You have George, you have Marion, you have Mitt, Baylor, yeah. Gunner.
So I'm glad you threw it all out there. But let me get back to this. Because Brandon Rose, how much of that when you go, yeah, we want to get reps out of Nate, and they do know that there's a future with him.
Yes.
And then you throw out Brandon Rose's name, too, like, hey, we're going to get him in the mix, too. Is that to kind of play a little bit of that don't leave to the transfer portal yet because he's a redshirt freshman this year. He sat all of last year, didn't get a whiff of the field, and he wouldn't have, right? And then how much of this do you have to manage? And then after all of this.
Nate Johnson, well, let me answer that question.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nate Johnson, basically they have given him the reins to the program, and it's his for the taking. That's really what they've – in my mind, that's what they've said. Because –
he's the heir apparent after Cam.
Look, every year on some level that Cam Rising has played, he's gotten injured. Every year. Now, to how much of a degree, that's, you know, a different. But every year, first year he got injured against USC. Then he got injured again in the Rose Bowl, you know, against Ohio State. And then this year he got injured against USC and really struggled throughout the season and missed games and missed time.
And then really got injured
in the Rose Bowl. So Nate Johnson better just say, this is my team. And he really needs to take that approach. And he really needs to, it's like, don't look at it as competing to kind of figure out where you are in the pecking order. It's like, you're the dude. And I think that's what they want to see from him. And if I'm Utah, every time he's in the game, every practice rep he gets, I'm throwing the heck out of the football with him. Because that's what you need to see.
You got to have
running
that guy throwing.
Running is not going to be
know.
The issue.
We already know.
Can you consistently throw? Are you accurate enough? Give him enough reps to where he's confident and comfortable and he can make throws. Because you have to throw the football in the Pac-12 if you're a quarterback today. You have to.
Utah fans are going to be excited about a couple of these other quotes. Speaking of the man, let's hear from the man, Nate Johnson, who is talking about what he's trying to do this spring for himself.
It's a big opportunity, not just for me, but for everyone. I mean, it's spring ball. It's especially for the new guys here as well. On both sides of the ball, it's really trying to show what you can do day one, and just got to be executing plays day in and day out.
Here's what he said about what he's actually like working on too, because, you know, I think that to your point, Scott, he knows how athletic he is. He knows how crazy of a – I mean, he'll make people miss. He's gonna confuse people. He's going to – absolutely outplay some people, but it's about being able to work inside of the system that Andy Ludwig has, and just scrambling is not part of it. Or, you know, you got to be able to make those plays, and he wants to work on picking what those right plays are.
Really just execution. I mean, again, on offense, we've got to execute our plays. We've got to execute on and off the field as well. Same thing with defense. We've got to execute plays. I mean, it's day one, so if stuff goes wrong, you just got to shake it off, go on to the next play, but pretty much you just got to fly around and make plays.
So
you got to make the right play on and off the field, Scott. I just love, like, these guys get into a mode and they're like, I don't even know what I'm saying.
This is what I like
about. Go to chemistry class? What is he talking about?
They don't have chemistry class. Come on.
Like when you were playing, bro.
Come on.
These guys are smarter than you, man.
Yeah, they're smarter. It's like every class is mapped out for them. They have an advisor that tells them, here's the instructor, here's the class, here's the syllabus, here's all the tests.
Come on. I used to go to the athlete review sessions.
If you're an athlete and you don't graduate from college in today's
I used to go to school. I would go to the athlete. So I had a close friend who was on the track team at BYU, and I'd always go to the study sessions with her, to the athlete review sessions for biology.
Heck yeah.
That was a real thing. But either way, he already is talking like the guy, right? That's a little bit what he sounds like.
But he's also talking about a guy that's bought into the culture at Utah. He's a guy that's bought in. Like he could have very easily transferred and just said, you know, I'm gonna try to go somewhere else because he had a lot of cachet. He was a high recruit. And he just said, I'm here to do whatever I can to help the program. And so when he went in that kind of wildcat formation a few times and was successful at it a year ago, it was kind of out of the norm of what he's doing. But he was a team guy, and he was a culture guy, and he was a program guy. And so those comments about doing the right thing off the field, that's part of that's a guy you want. You want someone, you know, who's going to be committed and have to work through things and maybe have to sit a little while, which he's done. And he may have to sit again this year for a part of the year, you know, who knows, or maybe all of it. But he's better off doing that and being that kind of player than bouncing around all over the place. So I like who Nate Johnson is right now, and it'll be fascinating. One guy. So Nate Richey's come back from an LDS mission.
Yes, yes, yes.
And they're slowly working him back into things. But they had Clayton Isabel, who was a really good safety, actually transferred. That was a bit surprising.
That was a big deal,
yeah. I thought he was going to be a player for him this year. Could be. And he's not there.
You forget about guys like Nate Richey. Man, he's going to be good. I mean, I hope he is. You hope he's going to turn it back on again. But, man,
if he plays like he did before he went on his mission, this is going to be – you know, because you got Simone Vaque and Cole Bishop. You have Nate Richey. You got a lot of depth at corner. That's a good defense.
Speaking of other guys who've become the guy, Jaquindon Jackson, now in the running back room, of course.
Yes.
And a guy who
what I'm most excited about this spring, just so you know.
And you're also gonna love this quote then. This is gonna be your favorite quote all day too.
Like I said, three-peat, you know, we trying to get that plus more. So we looking at the Pac-12 championship, but we also looking at the college football playoffs also. So that's another motivation for us just to keep going and do what we've been doing.
Three-peat, great. But we're moving on to the college football playoffs, Scott. You got to have those goals, man.
You know, there was a time when Utah could not envision itself making the Pac-12 championship game, let alone actually winning it. And you get in those big games and you keep at it and you keep adding pieces and your vision changes, it broadens. And when you do that, you push yourselves harder. I really believe if you ask everyone in the program a year ago, was last year a disappointment because you didn't get to the college football playoffs? I believe if they're being honest about it, they'd say yes. They say we really let a couple of games slip away from us and it could have been better for us. And we just didn't find a way to get it done. I would think they would be disappointed from it, but you see Deion Sanders and all he's talking about is we're coming for you, and it's about championships, and it's like that way from day one. So I'm a big lover of shoot for the moon, shoot for the stars, shoot for whatever is the highest thing you possibly can shoot for. And never underestimate what you can become and what you can do.
So Scott, you are a lover.
I am.
You're a lover, not a fighter. Lover, not a hater. I like that these guys have these goals like this. It just is fun to see it. When a guy is toggling between positions or they're asking him to do new things, and it's the middle of the season, and it's kind of exciting in that moment, you know? I mean, you and I, when we're watching Jaquindon Jackson have to start taking these reps at running back, you know, you wonder where his head's at, right? You wonder how excited he is about that. But then when you get to the spring and you go, dude, this is you now. Like, you can take this over now. No one's wondering about if Tavion Thomas is going to have his head right. You know, they're not wondering about. So he's going to be able to go and lead that running back room. And it's a strong freaking running back room when you think about what these guys have coming back. And to have Jaquindon Jackson come in there and go, I've got experience now. I've done it at the highest level. In this conference, and you know, when your backup quarterback is going to be taking over the program, you know, after Cam Rising leaves or if he ends up injured or whatever it might be, when his number's called, he's going to figure it out. And so the three-peat is being talked about up on the hill, and it better be. What's great is being able to write that stuff down and go, hey, we want a three-peat as conference champions. That's a wild goal that is up on that board in their room. And it should be. All right, let's take a break. We've got more to talk about around the corner. Let's head down to Provo's practices and their spring, or how things are going with this new defense, really, in the spring. Jay Hill is installing a new scheme. This is something I want to get your idea, Scott, on when you have a new coaching staff and they want to do totally new things, what that process is like and how they figure that out. And up a little bit later, our BYU insider for KSL Sports .com. Mitch Harper's going to join us. Tons to go on the show, so stay with us right here, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Aggies. Y'all ready? This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
Presented by G2G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome back. It's Unrivaled. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Coming up at 4 o'clock, our BYU insider for KSLSports.com, Mitch Harper, is going to join us. I've got questions about the progress of spring. Of course, it on the one hand, it's like, man, we just go crazy about what's going on. Speaking of what's going on, Scott and I went down a weird rabbit hole during the break.
We did, didn't we?
Scott was like, should we become Jets fans? Should we invest in some season tickets for the... Now, neither you nor I, these used to be conference foes for you.
Yeah.
Imagine 30 years ago, Scott Mitchell, and I show up from the future and I go, hey, one day you and I are going to buy season tickets together for the New York Jets. And then I poof, disappear, and you go, what on earth is going on? There's no way. But we were just
talking
about...
There's only one other team that I would not want to be a fan of more, and that's the Eagles.
Really?
Yeah.
I would have thought like the Bills or something.
Oh, no.
Because I thought Who's the most ardent hate for the Miami Dolphins? Is it the Jets? Is it the Bills? Is it the
Jets,
is it
the Bills, Patriots? Patriots. That's a great... I mean, they talk about... That's as good a rivalry division as there is in football.
I think NFC East kind of like has the corner of the market of teams that hate
each
other.
Well,
it's because
it's New York and Philadelphia and Washington and Dallas. I mean, those are the biggest markets.
And they haven't shifted around.
Buffalo, New York is not the biggest
TV. Yeah, yeah. And they haven't shifted around like either. They've always been that group. It doesn't make any sense. NFC East, Dallas Cowboys. But, you know, you couldn't imagine them anywhere else. But we were talking about becoming season ticket holders. Now, we wouldn't be as close as, what's this guy's name? Fireman Mike or whatever? Fireman Ed? We wouldn't be sitting nearly as close as Ed would. We were just talking about buying season tickets at the 300 level, which are the nosebleeds.
Yes, of course, we have to.
Dipping in a couple of times a year, take a red eye maybe, and go watch a Jets game, and then do the show on a Monday and fly back.
Yeah.
And then sell them the rest of the time. Yeah. Because if Aaron Rodgers, if we buy him now, and then Aaron Rodgers shows up, like, then we're going to be in the money, man. But it's so freaking far away, and I don't know if I could bring myself to cheering for the Jets. And I have no reason to cheer for the Jets. I don't like Aaron Rodgers that much.
It's not.
I don't know why.
It's not the point of doing it.
It's just going to the Big Apple.
Let's do something completely outrageous and off the rails, and I believe becoming a Jets fan from Utah. And we could have a segment every show that's
every week.
Yeah, the Zach Wilson watch, and we do the Zach Wilson watch is what we should do.
Scott, I love when you're spontaneous like this.
I know.
Why not Packers, Jordan Love?
You can't get tickets to the Packers.
You can't. I mean, you can, but it'd be like buying them on StubHub's.
We want to get cheap seats in a bad organization.
Yes. And I'm not going to go every week, but you know they're facing off against the Dolphins, and Scott and I are like, nah, it's a long flight. We sell our season tickets for that week.
For the Dolphins, you want to go to that game?
Nah, you can take a plus one on that week, and then
it's like when the Jets are playing, like maybe
Panthers.
I don't know. Yeah, the Panthers,
the Browns, Texans.
Yes, the Texans. If the Texans are in town, we're selling those.
Right? Yeah.
How much?
Yeah, Jeremy's all
deeply discounted seats.
Yeah. Well. I don't know. I don't even know if it's a smart move. I will say that we used to be able to look
them up.
It's
not a smart move, but how much fun would that be?
Yeah, that's true.
Well, you got to live life.
I don't know how much it costs, though.
But
I mean,
we have
honestly,
to take the red eye.
Because now they're not letting you. Remember last year we were looking and it didn't. You were looking to see how much it was.
I don't think it wasn't that bad. No, I know. That was
not nearly what it would be for, you know, Jazz season tickets. I mean, they're only playing 8 games at home, but.
And I think we buy a jersey and we get Sauce Gardner's jersey. But we only put sauce on the back
just
of the jersey.
Sauce. On
sauce.
It. Okay. So we're contemplating becoming Jets fans for no good reason.
No.
Because it's a Wednesday. That's the only reason why. Let me do this, Scott. We're going to ask you anything here.
Okay.
Drop into one of the many Mountainland supply locations throughout Utah. Here's what they do. Truck outfitting, power equipment, snow plows, motor rewinding, all the tool and safety needs that you could desire. They will take care of you. Mountainlandsupply.com. That brings you the Ask Scott Anything segment every week. Mountainlandsupply.com. So BYU is installing a new defense with Jay Hill. I always love the word install because it makes it sound like, you know, my dad worked for IBM for 30-something years.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, we got to install this driver on the, you know, you're like getting out all the old disks and, you know, plugging stuff in and downloading stuff. So installing something sounds like a massive process.
Mm-hmm.
And It certainly would be for the Jay Hill defense. When a new coaching staff comes in, Scott, and they say, well, I have a complicated system. At the very least, it's very different from what these kids have had to figure out before. How much of a process is that? And how much of a learning curve is there for a, quote, as he's put it, a complicated defense?
Well, smart coaches, and I believe Jay Hill is a smart coach, you're going to have your basic foundational defense. But for it to really work and to do what you want, there's the complication comes when, you know, you're in this defense and you're in a certain formation. Because defense is everything. They have to understand formations. They have to understand where the strength of the offense is and where they're going to have multiple potential receivers and how they adjust. But it's also like, you know, where you are on the football field. You know, because the hash marks are so wide that you have to make adjustments based on the defense. So, and then on top of it is they like to disguise and they show you a look, and then they at the snap of the ball they stem to something different, mm-hmm. just to create more confusion. So it's if you look at it on the surface, you go, it's not overly complicated, but when you factor in all of those things, it gets massively complicated. And you're a player, and you're used to hearing it a certain way. Now, it's probably called similar things because these guys kind of come from the same school. You know, Jay Hill and Kalani are Fred – or not Fred, but they're Kyle Whittingham. Fred Whittingham was basically the guy senior. That started all of mm-hmm. this. So it kind of stems from all of that. And, yeah, it's complicated. So you have to kind of go, okay, we're just going to start basic formations, basic defense – and then you start adding wrinkles because teams don't just line up simply the way you want them to do it to. And so understanding where people need to be and defensively, everything is so reactionary that you can't be staring, thinking. It just has to come in intuitively to you. And initially that's just really hard. I mean, just hearing the names and the descriptions of the defense when you're in the huddle, that's a new process for everyone. And as simple as that is, it can be brutally complicated. And it'll take some time. You know, it'll take probably into fall camp, maybe even as they get into games before they really start feeling comfortable with this. But then Jay is not stupid. He's going to look at the personnel that he has, and he just knows there are certain things, you know, we can and cannot do. At Utah, they like cornerbacks that can play man coverage, and maybe they don't have corners that can do that. Or play man coverage at all, or maybe they're better with two safeties deep or one, or, you know, maybe they're better if they don't blitz and they play zone. Maybe they're better if they bring pressure, who knows. But they're going to play to the strengths of what the guys can do without being paralyzed by thinking when they're on the field. And you'll see that, you know, you see it with Utah every year where they'll start the season and they'll be in a coverage and they basically kind of show – They don't stem, and they don't. And part of this reason is you're going to get game film, so you want the opposing team to think, oh wow, they just line up and show you what they're going to do, and then it just evolves as the season goes on, and they get more intricate in some of the things that they're doing.
What about guys falling behind? Like maybe they were in the Eli Satuiaki, defense, and it's just like this one I can't get, man.
Okay, so it's a great question.
Is that a thing that happens? Like,
well, yeah, the question is, if guys are falling behind,
that's where they'll be in the depth chart.
You recruited them and you're coaching them.
Yeah.
And if guys are falling behind, maybe it's too much. And I think there's a tendency by coaches to give players too much too soon.
That's interesting.
It was just like with Keaton Slovis. I wouldn't throw the whole playbook at Keaton Slovis at BYU. He's going to be there for a year. It's your first year in the Big 12.
I don't know. Something tells me that guy probably can get thrown an entire playbook.
Everyone says that intellectually, but to really know it in a game situation when the pressure is on, it's a different thing.
It's that keep it you simple,
be,
stupid kind
yes,
of approach.
You can be very successful with not a lot of play because you don't know where you're going with the ball. The defense is going to tell you that. So you can call one play and you could run it five or six times and you could throw it to five or six different people based on what happens with the defense. So you don't need a lot of play. You don't. I know all these people think you do, but you don't. Because in my experience with football, you can ask a lot of people who've had a lot of success at this. They go, I don't care what you do, defense, you're wrong. We're gonna call and design things that no matter what you do, you're wrong. And that happens a lot. And you can do that if you're sophisticated enough to be simple.
So one of the things that was brought up in this article that Mitch threw together, and I think it's great because it kind of gives you an idea of what, you know, they're trying to do and how some things do change. So for example, the nose tackles, right? Caden Hawes. They yep. asked him about this. Okay, so it's a different technique now. And he says, it's way aggressive. We're not two-gapping anymore or anything like that. It's a lot yep. more gap sound. We get to fire off the ball and then create some havoc. Is he just saying basically, like, on any given setup, you're either the A-gap or the B-gap, and that's the place. It's not. We're not going to be, like, doing any twists or anything, really. It's just kind of staying in that place. Or what is he talking about here?
Well, you know, defensive linemen, they don't have it complicated as it is. So
this made it a little bit more simple or what?
Well, if you've eliminated one of two options, you're either going to go here or there.
Now you're just going here. Yeah. See, those meetings might be a little bit more.
That could be earth-changing,
Is a change just like that? Like,
well, it's just a different technique when you're a two-gap player and just coming off the ball, how you have to play differently. And there are guys that do it well. And again, I just don't think it's the core philosophy. So you're going to get more of a four down front and those four down linemen basically are going to be right stout at the line of scrimmage, you know, filling gaps. And they take up bodies, and then that frees up the linebackers to flow and go to whatever gap they're responsible for. A lot of times it actually—
Ooh, flow and go. That could be your defense, Scott.
Well, it actually creates
the old flow and
more
go.
Opportunities, believe it or not, to get pressure on the quarterback, because when you're an interior lineman and you're making move, you know, you're getting movement, you're getting push up the middle, it frees up the edge guys to be one-on-one.
Yeah.
Which gives them more opportunities through a game to get get sacks.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. We have a bit more to do for this hour, including our What Are the Odds? We have our What Are the Odds around the corner. You don't want to miss it. So stay right here. We're going to do our What Are the Odds, and then we're going to have Mitch Harper jump on with us, and we'll talk about not just this, but also some of the changes that BYU has had, the new president, Shane Reese, yesterday being announced, and what that does for the football program. It doesn't matter when a new president is announced. To the football program, to the athletic department. How much does that matter? All right, we'll take the break and we will come back. 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
What are the odds?
Okay, sir, the bet is to you.
All in, baby! You'll know exactly. More or less. What's going to happen? This is 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, welcome back. Scott and I have been investigating becoming Flash New York Jets fans. And if we're going to do it, then you have to bring this news up, Scott. Elijah Moore, our own Elijah Moore, has been traded to the Cleveland Browns. The wideout who was distraught, to say the least, over the last couple of seasons. Probably thought to himself, you know what? I can't wait. Thank heavens. Here comes Aaron Rodgers. He's just been traded to the Cleveland Browns for a second-round pick.
Yeah, if you're Elijah Moore, be careful what you wish for. You get sent to the Browns.
But
this is draft capital. This is draft capital for Aaron Rodgers.
So you got Alan Lazard.
So our Aaron Rodgers.
If we do end up going through buying season tickets for the Jets. Just, I'm looking it up, okay? And so you got Alan Lazard. You have Mecole Hardman from the Chiefs, who they just signed as well, or picked up through this. Garrett Wilson.
Not too shabby.
Corey Davis.
Yep.
Also good. Denzel Mims is like, I wish that Braxton Berrios could have been around, but you can't have everybody.
Is Denzel Mims, is he related to Denzel Washington?
Usually the first name isn't shared on families.
Last name. Yeah. Oh.
So so he's out of Baylor, and I was looking at his stats. And he wasn't super productive last year, so it kind of doesn't really matter.
Yeah, but the quarterback position was not super productive either.
It's actually very true.
It's kind of one of those things that go hand in hand.
Yeah. Got to have a guy throwing to you. So they have quite the wide receiver room. And then you think about Breece Hall coming back off of that injury. That's exciting stuff, man.
Sounds like they need a quarterback.
I'm just really impressed with what our team's doing.
Yeah.
I see how I'm trying to own it.
Yeah, we got
it. Doesn't really work. It doesn't feel right yet, but, you know, I'll come around. So I was looking at some of the tickets here. Okay.
Okay.
I was able to find, although they don't have them listed anymore. They're not listing what the prices are. They just have, you can chat with a representative. I don't like that because they're going to break it to you that it's expensive. So the New York Jets increase in season tickets. It just happened over the last summer. So this might be a bad time to buy just because they just increased it pretty high. So they said that your tickets are likely going to go, if we're going to buy these season tickets. They said the previous prices ranged from $450 to $900 in the upper deck.
For season tickets?
Yes.
Per game? Or
I don't actually know. I would assume because that's...
No.
It can't be, right?
Can't be that high.
Because I got...
In the upper deck?
I know. I don't know. No, that's a... Sorry, this is for the... I'm looking across the league at just kind of the averages. So who knows what it's going to end up being. But when they say season tickets, are they talking about for the full season? If it's $900 for the full season, we're in, man.
Yeah.
Like, that's 8 games. That's just over $100 per game. That's awesome.
Should I chat during while I'm working here at representative?
Get a representative on the horn here, Jer.
And let's get him on the radio.
How much for your season tickets there, buddy? We should do it.
What's your zip code? You're not our area.
They're like, your call will be received in the order in which it came in. My heavens. I don't know if I want to do this anymore. Start looking up, what's Breeze Airlines to New York? Is it cheap? Does Allegiant go? Out of Provo to New York?
They can't make it that far, don't they?
Come on. And we don't need a bag. We're just showing up, watching a game, and then leaving. All right. So here's what we have on What Are the Odds. I give you a scenario. You give me a 0 to 100% chance that thing will or will not happen. Men, Re Medical is Utah's only physician-owned, operated wellness clinic offering ED treatments for those out there who want it discreet. They want to non-invasive and customized for their needs. Remedical.com is the website. That's remedical.com. What are the odds that you heard all this talk about three-peat as the conference champion? At practice, it was thrown around a lot. Coach Whittingham had to talk about it. Every player seemed like they were asked about becoming three-in-a-row champs, three-peat champs. What are the odds they actually do it, Scott? Because this is a tall order. It got harder even last year, and they still did it. Do they have what it takes to step it up even more in a year like this?
What does happen and what happened last year, not having North and South really helped Utah. You don't have to have the best record. You just have to have one of the best records, and that's what they did. So is that possible? Yeah, that's really possible. I still really like this team. I do. I think they've got a lot of depth. They got a lot of experience. They might be the most complete team in the Pac-12. You know, I'm not sure. You know, maybe Washington gets better defensively. Maybe Oregon, you know, it could be really good. That's hard. I'm going to say, was it Jay? Who is the guy?
Jay Crowder.
Jay Crowder.
I love how you suddenly forget his name.
John Crotty.
Oh.
John Crotty in honor of Dave Price. John Crotty, 25%.
I thought it was 21.
No, 21 was someone else.
Yeah, that was Dion. Yeah. Okay.
Crotty was 25. It's game day.
I'm going to say that it's going to be. People are beyond gunning for you, and teams have gotten better.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be tough. And they're not going to be the favorite, I don't think.
No.
You know,
Pac-12
media
days. Which in some ways is good.
I think that'll help Kyle.
They
got
to go to Washington. They got to go to USC.
Boo.
That's tough.
I'm going to go with a – let me see here. I'm going to go with a Scott Mitchell 19%.
Oh, boy.
There you go. I don't throw that out. I throw that out about once a year.
But
it was Utah appropriate. Yeah, no, it was about the number I was thinking.
It's fitting.
What are the odds that Minnesota gives Utah a lottery pick? The T-Wolves are currently in the last spot of the lottery. Oh, I pray that this happens. My heavens, that'd be amazing.
Carl Anthony Towns, he hadn't played.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. There just seems to be not a good chemistry there. It's kind of like Portland, you know, just it just doesn't feel right. I think the odds are, I'll go Mark Eaton 53%
game day.
Rest game day.
Yeah. There you go. All right. We will come back. We will have our guy Mitch Harper jump on, talk a little bit about this article that he wrote up about Jay Hill and installing a new defense. And then yesterday, BYU adding a new president, Shane Reese, after Kevin Worthen, I think, did a masterful job. I think he did an awesome job. Especially, how much does it matter? How much does it matter that the president of your university like cares about the athletic program? How much does it matter? I think it matters a ton, but we'll see. We'll talk to Mitch about it when we come back. So stay right here with us, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Rival.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig. Presented by G2G Bars. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome back. It is Unrivaled, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Thanks for being with us on the program. We appreciate you downloading the podcast wherever podcasts are found. It's free. Might as well. You can also go to kslsports.com, click on the podcast button, stream any of the shows all day long. And if you want to do it even more conveniently, get yourself the KSL Sports app that is now now bug-free and better than ever. So if you've been using the old Zone app to stream your KSL Sports Zone during the day for all your shows, convert yourself over to the KSL Sports app to be able to do that in the future. So there you go. Joining us on the program right now, he is Mitch Harper. He is our BYU insider for KSLSports.com, and this is The Cut, so let's jump right in.
There we go. The other question. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
All right, the cut brought to you by G2G Bars. All natural ingredients, no preservatives, plenty of protein. G2G Bars, perfect for anybody who needs a quick, tasty, nutritious boost. Mitch Harper, our BYU insider for KSLSports.com. What's up, Mitch?
Hey, guys. Always happy to be on with you.
Yeah, this is a wild week as BYU's getting ready for a closed practice on Saturday. But before we get to all that, it's impossible to be, because I know you're a Raiders honk, all right? At least they recently, I don't know if you've been like for life or what. Did you kind of jump on more when they came to Vegas?
I got into the Raiders around the, I'll admit I kind of got on a little bit of a bandwagon, the Rich Gannon teams in the early 2000s, you know, late 90s. That's kind of when I picked up. But I was young. I mean, that's 20 years ago, It's been a minute.
I'll say that it's born in your childhood, and it's just as inexplicable as your Laker fandoms. But you know, it's there. So,
Mitch, I was playing in your childhood.
You could have cheered for Scott. How dare you?
I just realized I caught myself when I said, "I was like, Scott's going to be sad at that."
Oh, you know how fragile that ego is.
I was a Rich Gannon fan, actually. Yeah. I liked him too.
Mitch, we're just.
I almost played by the Raiders, or I almost played for him in that.
Scott
in that
has
really.
Yeah,
Scott
it
has
came an, really close.
Yeah, but he says that for every team.
No, not every team.
This is the first time I've heard of the Raiders. So,
really? Oh,
yes.
Yeah. I got a great story about that.
But we're trying to figure things out because we were looking up season tickets of what it would be for the New York Jets. And it's actually one of the cheaper season tickets in the league. And
depending on where you sit.
We're talking about nosebleed. If we buy the full season, it's $900 a seat, which is $100 a game because they have 9 home games this year. Tell me that's not worth it. We take a JetBlue red eye. We all go out there, and then we fly back again immediately, make it in time for Monday, and we're suddenly Jets season ticket holders. And then we sell the ones we don't want to go to.
I love it. I think that's a great idea. Let's see it happen. We'll see Rodgers in action.
Yes.
We can see Zach on the bench.
Yes. That's what I'm saying.
We also want to get like jerseys, and we just want number one and just put sauce.
Just put sauce. We're all going to wear
sauce. Gardner, just sauce just on the back of our jerseys.
Yeah, we're trying to become Jets fans overnight. But that is if Jeremy's chatting with a representative right now. Are you really?
Yeah.
What are they saying?
300 level tickets.
Okay.
Trying to find out location, end zone, yard line. 150 per game per ticket.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. Mitch is in and we're in. I mean, that would be a really fun thing. You don't go to all the games. You might go to one or two a season, then you sell the rest.
Maybe so, we get sponsored by JetBlue.
Oh, this writes itself, man. We've got this thing figured out. A couple of articles, Mitch, you have up on KSLSports.com that are BYU-related now that we're is this week three now of spring for BYU already?
Right.
It's wild. So Jay Hill and the quote-unquote complicated defense. I was asking Scott about how difficult it is to have a changeover of a coaching staff and to reintroduce stuff to guys who were in a totally different system. How different is it compared to what Ituiaki was doing with the Cougs in the last 7 years?
I think it's night and day difference. It's a completely different feel and an attitude with this defense. And you know, I think that BYU with the previous staff, I thought they did a solid job. I mean, I think people tend to forget that the five of the first 7 years with the previous staff, they were the top 50 in scoring defense, and they put together solid defenses. I feel like with this defense, with how aggressive they are with the defensive line, it just instantly, that alone feels night and day different. And I think that this staff, though, feels like it's got the potential to be, eventually, not necessarily this year, because they've got some deficiencies with personnel, but I think, down the road that they could one day be one of the best Big 12 defenses in the league. And, what you saw the previous year is there was no inclination or flash of that. And I think that, Jay Hill's attitude and how aggressive he is in recruiting, that's night and day different. But I think when he does say he's going to be multiple, I don't think that's necessarily coach speak. I mean, their base look is going to be four defensive linemen, but they will have a variety of packages. I think you'll see a lot of five defensive backs this season. And, a guy like Eddie Hecker's going to be used in a variety of ways, whether that's, as a nickel guy, a guy that could be at the cornerback. He could be used in so many different ways for BYU. This defense will be a lot different. I mean, I think Cougar fans will be very excited about what this defense will provide. They're still going to have some games or two, I would imagine, that probably leave you wondering what just happened. But there will be also other games that I think give Cougar fans a lot of excitement about the potential of this defensive staff and what they can do.
Yeah, it's almost like you have to start somewhere. You got to be able to stop something. And usually, when they go to that four down line look, it's more like, we're going to be stout at the line of scrimmage. We're going to make it tough for you to run the ball and make you a little bit more one-dimensional. But they have to start somewhere. And I do believe it's going to be a work in progress because you hear Jay describe all the things he wants to do. And it's like, yeah, that takes time and it takes personnel and to do all that. But when they have the personnel and they can do it, it'll be a great defense because they understand it and they know it, these coaches, and they can teach it and, finding the right fits for it. I'm curious about the new president at BYU, Shane Reese. What do you think his impact's going to be on sports and football at BYU? Because presidents are key. They're very key on how well sports programs
are. Well, and
run.
maybe speak to what Kevin Worthen did that was, that was so helpful too, because, they're the bosses to the guys who are the bosses to the athletic program. And so I think what kind of an impact does a new president have? What kind of an impact did Kevin Worthen have?
I think Kevin Worthen's impact was a positive one. He was very supportive of sports. He was a former basketball, college basketball athlete. So he was someone that understood the importance of athletics. And I thought that came at a critical time because I think with previous presidents like Merrill J. Bateman and Cecil Samuelson, there was an era at BYU that felt like, is sports a priority? The doomsday scenario from Cougar fans was always, they're going to phase out sports and it's going to become BYU Provo, like BYU Idaho. those days, no one ever talks about that. Sports matter a ton at BYU. I think a big reason for that was Kevin Worthen. So I think he did a great job in navigating difficult times in independence and the West Coast Conference, and still BYU grew the fan base. I think the interest in BYU sports is still at a high level, and they were still making a lot more money than they've ever done. So in that regard, from the athletic side and what Kevin Worthen did, I think that was really good. I think that, Shane Reese, very interesting hire, and I think it kind of represents what BYU needs in the Big 12 era. I think it was a good thing that BYU had a change. It wasn't that they needed to have a new president, but you know, I saw the Big 12 spring meetings last year, kind of how these presidents operate, and just kind of getting a little bird's eye view of just a glimpse, a peek into the window. And, you know, Worthen was just kind of a, you know, shy guy, you know, not necessarily being a mover and a shaker in the room, kind of observing and probably being the new guy on the block and just wanting to observe and whatnot. But I think that, you know, does this new President Reese, president-elect, does he come in and really try to make BYU, you know, a prominent voice? And I think that that's going to be a fascinating dynamic to me for BYU going forward, because all the leagues that they've ever been in, they help create the WAC, the Mountain West. They've never been invited to a league that had a quarter century of history in its back pocket, and BYU suddenly joining it. BYU has always been at the forefront of creating the leagues that they've operated in, or in the West Coast Conference case, being kind of the biggest brand, you know, from a school side of things in their league. So this is just a new world for BYU, and I think that, you know, Shane Reese's background with, you know, the racial equality on campus, that project and committee that he was part of, I think that's important, because if you're going to go into this Big 12 and try to recruit at a high level, you have to have more diversity on the rosters. I think football has done a great job with it, along with men's basketball. You have to be able to recruit at a high level. And I'm really curious to see what he does as far as his aggressive nature with maybe spending. You know, BYU sports in the past, I remember when the basketball annex was built, it was already fully funded 2 years in advance before, you know, the operating, the electric costs, all of it, before a shovel hit dirt. Is BYU willing to play the arms race? Are they going to give this president the autonomy to be more aggressive? I mean, Kansas today just announced they're going to have a $40 million renovation on Allen Fieldhouse. I mean, Allen Fieldhouse is historic, but they're still upgrading that thing. I mean, it's just, is BYU going to be giving this new presidency and new individuals the ability to make things like that happen? Will he have the vision to sell to Salt Lake that these things are necessary? That's what I'm really curious on. And I think the fact that he is a BYU sports fan helps that cause. And so I think, you know, on as of right now, it seems like a good hire. And it seems like it'll be a good move for BYU. But, you know, I think how much power does he truly have? I think that's kind of the biggest thing as they go into the Big 12.
Mitch, excuse me, as we go into week three here, what's something that maybe you were surprised about or have been surprised about with spring? It seems like there's always somebody who pops up or a little storyline with a player here and there that you go, man, this has been impressive, or maybe somebody that hasn't impressed.
I think that, you know, it's easy to say Keenan Slovis. I mean, I think that he's been really good, and I think that he's been impressive, and I think he has been excellent for BYU thus far, and him and Aaron Roderick are in complete alignment with the goals that they have for this offense to be kind of a high-powered attack. I think it's going to look a little bit more like what we saw with Zach Wilson rather than Jaren Hall. I think there's going to be a lot more work with the tight ends. But maybe an under-radar story would probably be Isaiah Glasker, a linebacker. And he's someone that redshirt freshman, a former wide receiver out of Bingham High School. But you look at that linebacker unit outside of Max Tooley, Ben Bywater, maybe to a lesser degree, Chaz Ayu. There's no real proven commodities after those first two guys. And you got to round out the depth, and it's a trio of freshmen operating at linebacker that are getting the first team reps. And Isaiah Glasker is probably one of the more notable ones. I could see a scenario if they line up three linebackers on the field, he could be a starter next to Max Tooley and Ben Bywater. He plays with a lot of violence. I mean, he's a Sam linebacker that could be really good, and he's athletic. He was a rangy receiver in high school, so he's probably one of the more intriguing storylines that I've seen in spring ball emerge, because, you know, I kind of looked at him as more of a developmental project guy coming in, but no, I think because of these injuries, he's emerging as someone that could really be a factor, and he's making the most of his opportunities with his reps.
BYU's going to have its first scrimmage this weekend. What is the focus of this scrimmage? What are they trying to get out of it?
I think the focus, again, is to try to find these new faces, like a Glasker, how they fare in a game-like setting. How they show, because I think BYU is still trying to identify who some of the key players are on this team. There's so many new faces, and I think that's going to be something that they look to accomplish coming up on Saturday with that scrimmage. So I think that will be something that will be big. I think the running back position has been an area of real growth. Curious to see how they perform in a scrimmage as well, because that position with Aiden Robbins, the UNLV transfer, going through everything but team portion, he's projected to be RB1, but then Hinkley Ropati, Miles Davis, they've all looked good. Even some of the lesser-known guys in Luve Hilu and walk-on Enoch Nawahine, they feel like they go five deep at running back, and that's going to be before adding LJ Martin in the fall. So running back position, I think it'll be another spot I'm kind of curious to see how they evaluate there.
What's the wideout room look like, excuse me, for Aaron Roderick and Fessy Satake? I know that's a group that that have names that we recognize, but I think a lot of guys, obviously, you fall off quite a bit when you have a guy like Puka Nacua who's leaving the room.
I kind of look at it like the 2019 season for BYU wide receiver, and I say that because I think it's going to be primarily, you know, they're going to run with three guys. And those three, and that's what they did that year with guys like Micah Simon back then and Talon Shumway and Aleva Ipo. This year, I think it's going to be Chase Roberts, Cody Epps, and then I think they're going to have Keanu Hill as well. I think those are going to be your top three. They've got to get, I think, a transfer. It's difficult, though, because when you have an established pecking order of three guys already, I mean, that makes it maybe a little bit difficult to, say, get a grad transfer, because they might be looking at it and thinking they might not be the, you know, gift-wrapped starter right out of the gate. But if you get an underclassman transfer to come in, that would be something that would serve BYU well. You know, BYU, there's a receiver still in the portal in Gary Bryant Jr. from USC, who BYU was heavily involved with in this high school recruitment, and he was contacted when he entered the portal back in December. You know, I'd be curious to see what ends up happening with someone like him, if they could have any chance of getting him. He played with Keaton Slovis. They were good friends. They had a good connection. That would be the type of guy you want to add to the wide receiver room coming up in the May transfer portal window, or as soon as possible, because he's already been in there since December. So, you know, that would be someone I would look at to potentially try to add and target, because he still hasn't landed anywhere. And it's kind of mysterious as to why he hasn't, because he was a productive player at USC. So that's a name that I've been monitoring for quite some time as far as potential wide receivers. They had a few guys that were grad transfers that they pursued from Eastern Washington, but those guys ended up going up to other, you know, Power 5 programs. So they've been active, and I expect Aaron Roderick to continue to be active, you know, once that May transfer portal opens up, and ultimately when spring ball concludes, because I think if they stay status quo, they're not going to have the necessary personnel to navigate an entire Power 5 season.
Speaking of wide receivers, Puka Nacua, what do you know about him and the upcoming draft? Where is he? He seems to be a guy that's, I don't know, I guess I feel like we've kind of lost him on our radar. Where is he?
I think he's a day three guy. You know, and it's, I think all the BYU guys outside of Freeland have seen their stock dip, that are, you know, the notable guys, Jaron Hall, Freeland, and Nacua. I think Jaron and Puka through this process have not, you know, seen their stock been elevated. I think that they're going into pro day coming up on Friday, probably as day three guys. Puka, though, I think with wide receiver, that's what hurts him too, as far as maybe slipping a bit, because that's a position where it feels like there's just so many quality receivers that come out every single year, and teams feel like you can find a Puka Nacua in the sixth round, and that's a lot better value when you want to use the first, second, third, fourth rounds on D-line, offensive line, quarterbacks, and whatnot. I think Puka, though, whatever team drafts him, I think he's going to make the most of his opportunity, and he's going to be a difference maker for an NFL team. You hope that it's somewhat high of a pick, draft capital, so it feels like it's got to, you know, he's forced to play right away. But I just think his talent is undeniable. He was showing, you know, great signs at the Senior Bowl that day one. He was looking impressive, but then he was absent due to an injury at practice that week, the last few days. So as long as he's healthy, and I think that's one of the big things with Puka, is that he just doesn't stay healthy throughout his entire college career. He's always had some nicks and bruises and whatnot that have kept him away. And the availability has not always been there for him. But when he is available and he's at his health, his true healthy state, I mean, you look at the Boise State game, that was one of the best performances you've ever seen from a BYU wide receiver. That's the type of impact he can have on a team. And I think his route running is outstanding. Puka will be tremendous value for a team. I think a lot of teams would probably like to see him slide so they can get maximize that value with him as a draft pick.
Mitch Harper, he's our BYU insider for KSLSports.com, does the best job in the market at covering the Cougs. And you can download his podcast, Cougar Tracks. You can also listen to Cougar Sports Saturday on KSL News Radio every week with he and Matt Biamonte. Mitch, appreciate it, man. Thanks for being with us.
You bet, guys. Take care.
There you go. Future Jets fan, Mitch Harper.
Puka's kind of an enigma to me because most wide receivers don't get hurt. They really don't. I mean, there's a lot of wide receivers just never get hurt, and he just seemed to always be hurt. So
yeah,
frustrating.
I don't know. I don't know what the numbers are on that because I've never thought to myself, well, you know what group never gets hurt is the wide receiver.
Yeah, think about in the NFL.
Is it just because they don't have a lot of plays kind of
They're wimpy guys. They just stay away from contact.
Well, and they just don't have the ball coming toward them that often.
Yeah, I mean.
Comparatively.
Right. I don't know.
Remember when Scott accused the wide receivers of being giant babies? That was on this show. That was less than 10 seconds ago.
Who?
You. You accused wide receivers of being giant babies.
I'm not saying.
Wimpy guys. Was that the quote? Wimpy guys.
I'm just saying no. They're guys that just aren't going to go mix it up inside, so their probability of getting hurt pretty low.
That's wild.
I mean, if you want to see something funny, watch a wide receiver and a defensive back try to block each other. It's funny.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot like what's his name? Ezekiel Elliott when he was a center, when he played center for that one snap for the Cowboys this year.
Right.
He held his own, man.
Yeah, he did.
He held his own jockstrap in his hand after the plays.
He got run over.
All right.
Maybe that's why he got cut. We tried to play at center.
We were looking at you for that second position.
The more you can do in this league, and if you can't do it, we're going to have to cut
you. We wanted you to be kind of a certain Taysom Hill going forward, just multiple positions. Maybe play center on various packages that we have. All right. We'll come back. When we do, let's talk about this Jazz team and this Trailblazers team that they're taking on tonight. Interesting right now, we'll kind of map out a little bit of what it looks like for the rest of the season for this Jazz team and also where the West stands. So stay right here, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
Presented by G2G Bars. This is 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to the program. Happy Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. You can always download the podcast wherever podcasts are found. All the shows across all day here at the KSL Sports Zone. You can also download any segment and just jump in. You can also stream the show. Best way to do it, downloading the KSL Sports app. Join Hans and Scotty on Friday. They're going to be at the NPS store here in Salt Lake. 1600 Empire Road, npsstore.com is the website. That's npsstore.com. Go out and check it out. So the Jazz have the fourth toughest schedule remaining, Scott. And the thing is that, I don't know, the fourth toughest schedule, it doesn't mean much.
Whether it's fourth or first or ninth or whatever, I'll tell you what's exciting about the rest of this season.
It's about motivation of these teams.
It's going to be intriguing. I mean, there's so many teams that are fighting. And I think what makes it intriguing is they're fighting to stay out of the play-in game.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's one thing if, like, 6 through 1 has already been established and it's clear And it's these last few teams kind of fighting for 7, 8, 9, and 10. But you have people who are outside the play-in that are in it, and then they are safe, right? And it's like within a few games, all of them. So to watch every single game matters. You know, this game tonight with the Jazz and Portland, their leader has clearly stated we're done. But does that really mean they're really done? You know, really done. And can the Jazz show up and can they take care of business? Because they have struggled against Portland this year.
What about when you're looking at at teams like, at the end of the year, this Jazz team have 11 games left now, and here are their 8 toughest games: Milwaukee this Friday, then they go to Boston, right? So you have Milwaukee, Boston. They still have to play the Nuggets. They still have to go to the Kings. They still have to take on the Nets. That Celtics-Nets trip, you look at it and you go, man, that's going to be tough. But how much do those teams need to actually win those games? That's a question. They have to balance whether or not they're going to be packing it up a little bit in their minds. Like, yeah, this is the spot we're going to be in for the playoffs. And let's just buckle down here. Let's pull a Steve Kerr and pull some of these guys. Bucks, Celtics, Nuggets, Kings, Nets, Suns. They still out of the games that are remaining, they still have these tough games. Now they play the Lakers twice. They play the Trailblazers tonight. They still have the Spurs one time, but the Spurs are one of the worst teams in the league, and they've also gotten the Jazz twice already this year.
You also have to look at kind of how the schedule lays out, because they're home against Milwaukee. That's going to be a tough game, and they'll play hard. You know, they might surprise folks and win that game, but then the next day they got to go to Sacramento, and so that's a tough back-to-back. Phoenix is fighting to stay ahead of the Jazz, so and that's a home game, and that's a game that's gonna be heated, you know, for the Jazz. It's gonna be tough going to that 3-game stretch, you know, San Antonio, Boston, Brooklyn, and at that point you're gonna have probably a really clear idea of where this week is, because then you're into the last week of the season. You're playing Los Angeles twice. You're going to play OKC that you're kind of battling, and you're playing Denver, who has the best record in the West, and they may be motivated, they may be not, but I just find it, regardless of how tough it is, who the opponent is, it's a fun way to finish out the season, and in some ways it's almost like a foreshadowing or a microcosm of the season, where it seems like most games the Jazz have been in have come down to the wire. I mean, the other night against Sacramento came down to Boston. They just won right after another. They've just had so many. I think they're two in the NBA as far as teams that have had meaningful or close games or whatever you want to call that statistic. But this is going to come down to the wire for the Jazz. You know, it really is. It's going to come down to the wire and see if they can close out the season and see if they can, you know, whatever they want to do. You know, it's. I think they want to try to win. I think all these other teams want to try to win. But I think there comes a point when you just go, you know, I give. Uncle, you know, tapped out. You've seen Portland kind of do that. You know, so this next few weeks, will the Jazz close out the season kind of like they've tried to close out all their games? And why would that not be just amazing to watch, you know?
Yeah, I'm on David Locke's – excuse me. I'm on David Locke's side of things, where it's like, how awesome would it be even to get just one extra game?
Yeah.
Let these guys go, travel to a place, figure it out for a game. You know that they could probably give any of these teams that are 7 through 10 a run for their money.
Well, if they're 9, they get a home game.
Right. And so,
or if they're 7,
they get a home game.
They get a home game.
Yeah.
Or 8. Right?
You can't have all home games.
Oh, no. If you're, what is it, 9 and 10?
No, loses, 9 and 10 don't play each other, right? 9 and 10 play each other, yes, for the one game. And then you're playing for the chance to basically supplant 7 or 8, right?
I think the winner plays 8, right?
Right.
And the loser plays 7. Is that right?
Yes.
And then the winners are in.
Yes. And those are all just one game, one off, yeah. Boom, got to get it done, which I love. So Utah has one of the toughest schedules going forward, but that hasn't mattered in the last few weeks. The interesting thing tonight is going to be who does Will Hardy roll out there? Who are the guys that are going to be playing tonight? And that also has not really mattered. So who are going to be the guys who play? You know what I mean? The guys who show up and end up being kind of that superstar for the night. That
we know flash in the pan superstar. Out again? Who's in? Who's out?
That's, you know, as of this morning, I wasn't totally sure. But let me just see real quick because it changes at around 2:30 p.m. Here it is. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Status for tonight's game. Jordan Clarkson, out. Lauri Markkanen, questionable. He did participate in practice today.
Oh.
Yesterday. So he's listed as questionable. So we'll see how that thing goes. Oh, just got the update. Lauri Markkanen, available tonight.
Ooh.
So it'd be interesting to see how they do. Be interesting to see how Damian Lillard comes in. He's just said, like you said, the team's kind of packed it in. Hey, man, we're losing the rest of the way here. Or whatever. I mean, they're not going to – the last time they played, Lillard had 60 points. That was the – so that was against THT, man, and Chris Dunn. So we'll see how they do this time. We will take a break. When we come back, let's jump in a little bit here to some more fun stuff. I've got a little bit of an update of what the Pac-12 meetings, what was discussed at the Pac-12 meetings this morning, and where they're at on this TV deal. More to go. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
Presented by G2G Bars. This is 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
What is it, a Win Ticket Wednesday? Sometimes we read these bands and I don't know who they are. Dierks Bentley? Not familiar, but we have tickets to Dierks Bentley. So if that is familiar to you, then I want you to give us a call. Caller number 12 gets a pair of tickets to Dierks Bentley at USANA Amphitheater on August 11th. 801-575-ZONE. That's 801-575-9663. What style of music are we talking about here, Jeremy? Yeah, you figure the word... Is that the guy's name? Yeah, the guy's name. I thought it was maybe the group. Yeah, Dierks Bentley.
It's the Gravel and Gold Tour.
You know, you and I might have tickets.
To that? To Dierks Bentley?
No, the Jets games.
Oh, the Jets. You're still on that kick?
Yeah.
I'm getting phone calls now.
I may not.
I love how Jeremy. Hold on. Did you gave him your real phone number?
I apparently did.
Yeah. You could have just gone on the online chat, bro.
You had to provide that before.
Yeah.
And I was a dummy to give my actual number.
Mm-hmm. They're like, can I speak with Jeremy real quick? And it's not even about tickets. Hi, you've been entered to win. Like, just they sold your information immediately. By the way, when you gave it to them,
it said New York Jets.
Tell them that we want to get
the phone.
A suite.
Said New York Jets. Hey,
I text you guys.
I know, but I didn't know if it was like that was the actual call. It actually says the Jets. Who's calling? It's just the Jets. Oh, ignore it, dude. Jeez, those guys keep calling me, man.
Well, tell them that we want a suite.
Do you think? I saw that suite deposits were 2,000. The deposits are 2,000. We could get a suite to the Chiefs game. The deposit's 2,000, and from what I read, it's about 50,000. But you fit up to 20 people in there. Food, etc. What's 20 people?
Send the bill to Nate Dowdle.
Okay. You're basically
give him Nate's number.
Yeah, you're basically talking a couple grand per person, right?
Yeah.
Ah.
It's a suite.
Yeah, it's sweet too, man. All right, so. I'm intrigued by the idea of being a season ticket holder for an NFL team. And you can't get the Raiders because you have to buy that real estate. Like you're buying that seat. You right. own that piece of Las Vegas. Yeah. That, 2.5 foot by 1.5 foot.
That's how they fund the stadiums.
Yeah. And so can't do that. But we could fly to New York a couple times during the
football
season.
I know someone who has Raiders tickets, and they're very pleased with
it. It's as cheap to fly to Los Angeles as it is to New York.
To go to New York.
$230 round trip for those nonstop tickets for JetBlue. I've got it all worked out. And we're not going to go every week. We just sell the other ones. I just don't know if we're
going
to make money.
I don't know, but I'm going every week.
Okay.
Well, maybe there's a couple games I can go to.
The Texans game you could miss.
And the Atlanta game. Well, but there's Tyler Algier.
Yes, I'd go watch the Hawks, man.
Yeah, come on.
I mean the Hawks. The Falcons. It's a bird. I was just looking at the Eastern Conference standings. I had the Hawks in my head. So I just am, I'm thrilled to that one. I do have an update. If you follow John Wilner on Twitter, you probably would have already gotten this crazy news. But the CEOs of the Pac-12 met today.
Yes, they did.
That's a huge deal. And according to John Wilner, are you sitting down for this?
Nothing happened.
No, that's not what he said at all. The meeting between the Pac-12 presidents and CEOs came back, quote, as a productive meeting. And they will meet again with a lot of things in the hopper. And they'll meet again in April. Back to you.
Like, that's it?
That's it. It was productive. It was productive. That sounds like a trip to the toilet. How was it? Productive. That's all you need to know.
I would never describe a trip to the toilet as productive.
We're going in a positive direction here.
Monumental?
No.
Incredible?
We have a deal
record
made.
Record-breaking?
Yeah. We officially have a deal.
All right, I take that back. Every morning when I get up and go to the bathroom.
Now you're going too far.
That's productive.
I told you.
He didn't urinate down his leg, man. That's a great place to begin.
Look, let me tell you.
That's the
biggest struggle I have in my life. I don't want to get out of bed.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to do it. And I'm like, just get to a point. You get older. And you can't fight that.
Yeah.
You can't. You're not going to win.
You have one chance.
You get out of bed right now.
So that was the update. Now, you remember last week you read to me a John Wilner tweet that was like, if you're a fan of the Pac-12, mark Tuesday the 21st as an important date.
Yeah.
And then they didn't end up meeting on Tuesday. It was Wednesday morning.
Yeah.
And in the meeting, things were pretty good.
Productive.
Now, them being coy?
Productive.
Is that them being coy? Or is that them being, we don't have anything to update you on? Are they trying to figure out the best way to roll out the victory lap that they're going to have if they end up having more money in this deal? If they approach that, $40 million mark or even the $50 million mark that we had talked about, I think that somebody had thrown out there, if you know that you're going to get $50 million a school, like, the meetings should be about how do we run this victory lap? Because Brett Yormark has been running these victory laps on you while things have been happening.
So something just clicked in my head. When I was a kid growing up, they introduced this thing called cable television. And I immediately became a fan of the Atlanta Braves and the Chicago Cubs. Why? Because they were on
TV. TBS were they, and WGN.
Were they any good? No. I mean, the Cubs never – I mean, they hadn't been to a World
Series. I watched.
The Braves were terrible.
Yes.
Right? So here's how significant all of this could be. The viewing habits of people have shifted big time, right? And they're going to continue to shift. And people are going to cut the cord. So the Pac-12 potentially could be on the cusp of something, forward-thinking. It's where things are trending. And here you have the Big Ten and the SEC and the Big 12 and the ACC all tied into cable. They're tied into traditional media partners. And in the future, they probably won't go away, but who knows? Who knows how this goes? So this could be monumental about what's happening, because it'd already be done if they were dealing with traditional media outlets, and it has to be these streaming services, and again, these streaming services, they don't know what they're doing. It's new to them. They're trying to figure all this stuff out. And I'm sure that's why everything is taking so long. I mean, if you think back last summer when the Pac-12 gave an exclusive rights window to just one of the networks and they couldn't get it done. And so they said, all right, we've probably got to go in a different direction. And that direction is with new people, but they could be onto something and people could grow up now, like I did, who are these kids, young people tend to be the people watching on streaming services, and they all of a sudden they become fans of the Pac-12. And maybe they become lifelong fans of the Pac-12, and then that maybe that shifts the interest in college football just a little bit.
I wonder if it really is. Like, I think that they might have some things wrapped up. I mean, we heard Mark Harlan came on our show, and the very discussion that we had with him was, I mean, they are, I think they're excited about something that they probably have reason to be excited about. The problem is we've become too impatient. You know, there's not a real timeline. There doesn't need to be some like, hey, man, May 1st, you know, you can't announce anything after that. There's no such thing. And so maybe they just go, we don't care. We're not on your timeline. This deal's getting done, and it takes a little bit of time. And before we get it done, we're not going to just roll it out before anything happens.
What if they get it right?
I think they do. I bet they
do. What if the Pac-12 gets it right? What if they get it right and they have a five-year exclusive opportunity to do streaming right media where all these other schools are stuck to traditional outlets?
Yeah, I don't listen.
And because the SEC goes, well, we figure this game out. We're gonna come on board when it's right. And so maybe it just gives the Pac-12 a leg up at least for the time period. First to market kind of idea.
Here's the thing though, if you're on the quote unquote traditional TV. Right? ESPN, what are you talking about? Fox, ESPN, you know, any of the normal
CBS.
Guess what? They're all in the streaming space too. So when everybody goes, I got this streaming exclusive thing, it's like every one of these dudes, like I will watch most of these games streaming them rather than watching them over the air.
But you're watching Prime. You're not watching ESPN for your Ted Lasso. Or all ESPN doesn't stream movies, or they don't stream original content.
So you're saying if I was able to break into this space where Prime does the same thing it does with the NFL, or Netflix has live sports suddenly,
right?
Like if that's a, but I'm just saying that the availability.
Someone's not going to go. Yeah, I think they're being less inclined to go to ESPN or Fox or some of these.
Just
to stream that.
Here's the thing, too. Here's where I sit on this. I know we got to go to break, but here's where I sit on this. The Pac-12 getting a deal done and having it be bigger than what they thought or whatever, I think it's just fantastic for college football. The Big 12 got a great deal done. I think the people who are worried about, quote-unquote, losing to the Pac-12 or the Pac-12, quote-unquote, losing to the Big 12 in that sense, I think none of it matters. It's the most money that these schools have ever gotten for their TV deals. And it's just, can I watch it? Do I have to go to the Pac-12 network or get a special subscription to be able to get the Pac-12 network? Can it be easy for me to stream? Because I already have these services, right? And so I don't think it has anything to do with beating one another. I think that's something more of a narrative created by the average Twitter user. You disagree because you're showing me that face.
No, I'm just saying, you know what's interesting?
It's great for football, all this.
No, it is. I totally agree with you. What's interesting is since Mark Harlan came out and said what he said, didn't those stories go away?
It kind of cooled off.
Everything kind of went away.
Well, now the John Wilner and John Canzano.
So Dennis Dodd and the,
all those stories,
and the Big 12, just like, they kind of.
Think about how.
It went away.
John Wilner put that teaser tweet out and then nothing happened and he went, oh, great. I'm getting. They're playing me right now.
Yeah.
They know that they've been burned by these guys who have created a false timing narrative, yeah. Right? All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We have more to jump into. We have a lot to cover before in this last hour, getting you ready for Jazz pregame versus the Portland Trailblazers tonight at Vivint Smart Home Arena. Stay here with us. It's 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love.
with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keering, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Final hour of the show. Quick one here going up because we're going to get you ready for the Jazz v. Trailblazers. Across the street at Vivint Smart Home Arena here in Salt Lake City. Just gut reaction, Scott. Lauri Markkanen available tonight. Colin Sexton and JC, Jordan Clarkson, both going to be sitting out still.
Do you think they're going to sit out the rest of the way?
I can't imagine. Like, the hamstring thing is, well, it's an interesting question because Clarkson's got the finger, right? He's got the...
I gave you the finger.
He gave you the finger. He's got the sprained finger, and so you wonder, okay, how much? I mean, that's killer, right? I mean, that could be really bad. But if they are, let's say they are an 8 or 9 seed, and they have a play, and they have a couple games they got to play. Maybe they're that 10 seed, and they got one game, one and done. You're going into the offseason. If you're even close, if you're JC, you're playing that game, right? If you're even close. I mean, Colin Sexton, I don't have a lot of hope for just because the hamstring is, I mean, that's something that he's had to deal with before. It's something that we as Jazz fans have had to watch through, right? And just kind of go.
Hamstrings are hard. They really are.
They're tough to guess on.
Yeah. It takes a long time to really.
I always love when guys go, I'm about 72% on that hamstring running.
I wonder are you talking about? What kind of, you know, this team feels like these younger players, these guys that are new to are kind of getting into a flow of things, and you know, how much do you want to break that up? What if Jordan Clarkson's like, man, I'm not signing back with Utah next year?
Yeah,
you know, maybe then the Jazz go, what's the point of playing you then? I mean, if you're not going to come back, I mean, let's some of these other guys play and they can work themselves into a situation here. Do you think they have those conversations? Do you think like Jordan Clarkson goes, look, guys? Man, I let me just shut it down for the rest of the year. I'm not going to be here next year. You know, let some of these young fellas in. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
I
don't know
or,
if they.
Or does he just go? Or does he just?
Or does
know
the
that,
team just say? Because we get told they're going to reevaluate in a week, right? You know, you get those things. They go, yeah, we're going to reevaluate in 2 weeks, and that's always difficult because you go, oh, we're not even going to talk about this guy playing again. And the possibility we're going to get an update on what his situation is in 2 weeks, you know, and I don't know if they have that conversation. I think that guys on the team are going, hey man, are you getting back? I mean, I've seen video of him practicing,
yeah,
right. Ben Anderson posted that up, and you kind of go, oh, okay, so he's getting around, he's in practice, which kind of lends to the idea that he's too much of a competitor, man. There's no way he shuts it down. Yeah. And it's not about playing other places. I think this guy just loves to play ball, and I think that if this team, it would just be perfect for this team to be a play-in team, a play-in tournament team for this year. I'm all about it. Get that one game, get those two games, and see what happens. See what happens. You know what that is? I've told you, every day is a gift with this Jazz team. Jazz Team 49, let's see what happens. And then it's just a guy shrugging. Like, the logo is a guy shrugging. Team 49. Let's see what happens.
I just think Jordan Clarkson's a guy who, it's a big question mark to me where he fits into the Jazz future plans. I you know, you hear really good things. You hear he's a good teammate. You've watched him as a player.
The community loves him.
And evolve. All that stuff.
Yes.
Is he a guy that really fits into your long-term plans? You know, based on
his
age. Does
Ochai Agbaji doing as well as he does? Does right. that affect what that future looks like?
Yeah, and his desire to play here too. You know, so I just wonder how much conversations go on. I wonder if he just goes, I know, but I can, you know, he talked about building a home in San Antonio, Texas. Does he go there? Has he already had conversations with his agent or whomever? And has Jordan Clarkson done enough? You know, do people go, man, that's a guy we really want to fit in? And I think he has. I mean, I've just been so impressed with his ability to change his game and how it's evolved. And I don't know. Just a, the guys who are injured right now just are really fascinating to me for the Jazz.
So this Jazz Trailblazers matchup tonight is an interesting one because this Trailblazer team is probably not interested in winning. They kind of will just stay. They're in the spot where I think a lot of folks maybe 3 weeks ago for the Jazz, they go, that's the goal. Pass up the Portland Trailblazers, right? They're in that third to last team in the West, and it's the race toward the bottom now for some teams. And I don't and obviously the Jazz's situation have the Jazz situation has totally changed. Over those they've gone in totally different directions the last few weeks, and no one from the Jazz team is saying that we're giving Damian Lillard comes out and goes, yeah, we're done. Could you imagine somebody from the Jazz going, yeah, we're pretty much done? Like, we've been waiting for somebody to say that.
Yeah. Hoping.
We've been hoping somebody would say that. Then well, I turn into, but, hey, you know what? This is awesome. Nobody but, say it. Please don't say that.
But did the Jazz do that without actually doing it? Like, they go, okay, here's what we're going
to
do.
Like, are they winning these games on accident suddenly? Like, well, I didn't mean to win that game. Sorry,
it's
man.
You ever see the movie Major League?
Oh, of course.
Where the owner, all she wants to do is have the team lose. And so she has all these, you know, misfits and bumbling idiots. And
when I was a kid,
to get it together.
When you're a kid, you're watching that and you're going, they're not. Oh man, every win that you tear off another piece, and you go, they're not going to do it, are they?
Well, and I wonder if they go, all right, just throw in, Chris Dunn.
Okay.
Throw in Johnny Juzang.
Yeah.
You know, and because they're not going to play good. You know, they haven't even been on this roster, and they're going to struggle. And it's like, man, we're down to Azubuike. Like, put him in the game. He's the last guy on the bench. Ah, we'll just throw him in. And everyone they've thrown in has worked. Like they can't find. So they, you know, it's like, I'm not saying that the Jazz have done this. I'm being a little bit funny about it, that they've just tried to throw the worst players they have on their bench. And no offense to any of these players, but, you know, they don't typically play.
Yeah.
And they've played way beyond, you know, hey, Simone Fontecchio, just keep shooting. You keep missing, keep shooting, and then all of a sudden he
starts making everything.
He figures it out.
So Damian Lillard is like, yeah, we're packing it up, but the last 12 games, Damian Lillard has averaged 35.5 a game, over seven assists, over six rebounds.
So he's sandbagging everyone. Oh, yeah, we're just packing it in, you know.
So I'm setting the requirement for tonight's game. You ready for this? Here are the things that I have to see in tonight's game. I want to see my usual from the Jazz. Lauri Markkanen, 30-plus points, okay? I like it. That's my number for Lowry, and he's back. He's available tonight. He's likely going to play. Hard-fought game. Close game, which I always like. And normally I say Jazz lose, but there's no point to lose to the Trailblazers now.
No.
Now there's no point to really lose any of these games, I feel like. Just keep it going. So eliminate the loss part. I'm going to replace that with Damian Lillard scores 45-plus. So Dame gets 45-plus, but the Jazz still win, and Lowry shows out. Is that too much to ask? That's very specific, but he scored 60 against the Jazz last time. The Jazz lost to him. But I just don't – of course, they could lose this game and we could totally just blow it because the Trailblazers, 60 points from Dame. I don't think he's going to do that, but I do see him scoring over 40 tonight.
Well, the Jazz have implemented this new zone defense that's kind of helped them with some of these, you know,
high-scoring
Jason Tatum kind of guys. Helped them a lot early with Sacramento, and they kind of figured out what was going on after that. You got to believe the Jazz are going to, I would speculate that that's what they're going to do tonight. And maybe that slows, Damian down a little bit. Who knows? But I just, with this Jazz team, I just continue to be,
entertained?
Well, no.
That's really kind of the end of it for me.
At this point, I want to watch. I want to watch this thing through to the end. I want to see where they end up with things. And the crazy part, we thought a year ago, like it got really exciting. I mean, we talked about the Jazz almost all the way through the summer. What's going to happen this year? Because you know they're going to make more moves. So it's exciting this last stretch of the season. It's going to be exciting when the the playoffs come, when free agency comes, when the draft comes. It's just going to be a heck of a summer. And then on top of it, who stays around? You know, I've been thinking a lot about that lately. Like, okay, who on this roster is around next year? And what do they look like? You know, does Ochai Agbaji, where does his game go? Where does Walker Kessler's game? Is Kelly Olynyk just a hired gun for a year or so? Or is he a guy that maybe has found a home? Remember Joe Ingles? And how Joe Ingles just found a home with the Utah Jazz for a period of time. He was a unique talent. You know, Kelly Olynyk may be a better version of Joe Ingles. You know, there's a little bit more to Olynyk's game. There's a lot more to his game than Joe Ingles.
Yeah.
Well, does he find a home? And I'm just fascinated. And then if you because you know Danny Ainge is going to make a move. Like, he is going to make
moves. And it could be wild stuff.
And you're going to go, and then all of a sudden, like, you will not be able to get a ticket to a Utah Jazz game.
Okay, let's just look at.
People will be so frenzied.
Let's just look at a one-to-one comparison of, like, value-wise where you're at. If you're in a front office and you see Jordan Clarkson on a sheet and you see Ochai Agbaji and you can only take one of those guys, where do you go with that? If you could keep Jordan Clarkson or Ochai Agbaji going forward, who do you take?
Well, I'd take Ochai Agbaji.
Upside's, he's just so young.
He's just so young. And I mean, look at the upside from the beginning of the season till now. And that's what I mean.
It has nothing to do with whether or not Jordan Clarkson's better or worse or not. Because I think that it's whether or not you would end up getting more out of Ochai Agbaji, maybe even quicker, and that he could be a long-term guy for you.
Well, and you're also going to have a whole lot more money. You know, as far as, you know, free agency and salary cap issues. The knock on Ochai is that he's older, you know, he stayed.
Yeah.
And so is this more of his season, right? Is this more of his ceiling, not season? And, you know, is this kind of the best you're going to get from him?
I think you only get better. I mean, the whole thing is that these guys are talented. And the thing that makes you better is playing in these freaking games and having a 27-point night on 6-for-10 from three.
Let me ask you this question, and it's maybe more comparable.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather have Royce O'Neal or Ochai Agbaji?
Yeah. Well, that's a complicated question because Royce O'Neal, the years that we liked Royce O'Neal, no, Ochai Agbaji.
Don't you feel he might even be a better defender?
Yeah, I don't know.
Certainly has more his game has – I don't think they looked at him to be a scorer, and all of a sudden they said, wait a minute, this guy, you know, he had 27 points the other night.
Think about if the Jazz end up getting a lottery pick from the T-Wolves. So on top of
it's
going to
be the Herschel Walker trade.
It's
like the Minnesota whomever I don't care. It's basketball,
Vikings,
football.
T-Wolves, don't care.
It can be the Twins. They're gonna give some team a world championship.
Yeah. No, just imagine the how insane that is. That they could give you a lottery pick, you could be in the playoffs, and then you think of the haul that they got on top of it. It's
that wouldn't be nice.
That's a slam dunk that no one would have seen. Even Danny Ainge couldn't have predicted how insane this could have gotten. I mean, they hope for it, right? I mean, that's the whole point. All right, guess what we have coming up here? You've got the Jazz.
No idea.
Pregame coming up in just a little bit. And I'm excited about this one. I did want to mention that UVU is playing tonight in the NIT quarterfinals.
Yes.
They're hosting Cincinnati. I've never been a bigger UVU fan.
How fun is that?
I mean, Mark Madsen, how cool is it? $20 to go to the game?
For a ticket?
That's awesome.
What time does the game start?
7 p. You can make it. You can make it.
I got to get my Jet season tickets, and then I'm going to head down to UVU.
Hey, it's all green, baby.
Spend my $20.
I mean, that's what's crazy. But you think about, so Oregon lost last night in the quarterfinals to Wisconsin.
Yeah,
and their head coach, Oregon's head coach, said, "Yeah, there were 3,300 people in the stands. I'd rather you just, if it's me, I'd rather you just fire me. I'd rather go coach at a junior college who wants to have people show up."
Look, Oregon, they support their teams. They have good fans. Be in a good tournament. I don't know. I'm sorry.
Oh, boy.
If you're Oregon.
You can't do both of those.
Like,
come on.
Like, look, UVU being in the NIT, that's awesome. Oregon being in the NIT, nah.
Yeah.
They've been in a recent Final Four, so.
Be better, Oregon.
But it did. It brought up all these things about how many. Yeah. So, like, the Mountain West by far, like, out attends the Pac-12 at their basketball games.
Wow.
I don't know if that's an indicator totally on how things are, but it was an interesting dive in to see how Pac-12 teams are also not going to the games in the basketball arenas. All right. Coming up next, NFL Roundup. Stay with us. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Here we go.
Go get it. Let's go.
That's it.
It's time for the unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium grade A NFL news from a former NFL quarterback.
What is that?
And the other guy. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, happy Wednesday to you. Hump day, you're over the hump. That means we're sliding into the weekend as of right now. So everything downhill from here, we're glad to be there. We're glad you're riding along here with us. You can always download the podcast wherever podcasts are found. Go to kslsports.com, and you can stream the station all day long. You can also download our amazing new bug-free KSL Sports app. I think I got it all in there, Scott. So,
congratulations.
There you go. Yeah. Also, guys, Re Medical is Utah's only physician-owned and operated wellness clinic offering ED treatments that are discreet, non-invasive, and customized for your needs. So go ahead and visit Re Medical today. RheMedical.com is the website. That's RheMedical.com. Did you ever have to pay to use a number 19 or
my freshman year at Utah.
What did you pay?
Tommy, well, I didn't pay. I just didn't wear it.
Oh, that's when you didn't.
So my redshirt year, I wore the number 12.
Okay.
Good trivia question.
That is great.
Nobody would know the answer.
No. When he was a lowly redshirt thrown on the practice squad or on the scout squad, what number did Scott Mitchell wear? 12. So that's good. That is a good one. I didn't know that. I usually know a lot about you.
Yeah.
Well, Juju Smith-Schuster, of course, is a guy who just signed on with the Patriots.
Yes.
And there's already a number 9 there, which he's been wearing for the last couple seasons.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just like a person. It's not like it's a punter, you know. It's Matthew Judon, who's like an insane edge rusher, kind of became, he's one of the best, sack machines in the league. And Juju Smith-Schuster said, hey, man, that's kind of my number. What do you want for it? $100,000, straight up. He just said, I want $100,000. And Juju Smith-Schuster said, too rich for my blood, moving on, getting a new number. Now, I think when he came in the league, he didn't have 9 because you couldn't have the single-digit numbers, I don't think, as a wide receiver. You tell me.
You could as a wide receiver. You couldn't as an edge rusher.
Yeah, okay.
So he'd have to be a
– So Judon definitely couldn't be a 9. But I don't think – I think Juju was like an 80-something maybe when he was first at Pittsburgh, right?
Wide receivers were in the 80s.
Yeah, I think that when they first –
They were in the 80s.
When they first got to that number, he was wearing – it looks like I've seen different things. He was 19, it looks like.
Yes.
When he was first first in the league, he was number 19. And now he's 9. And now he's probably just going to go back to 19 again. Did you see that whole thing that Dion was talking about, by the way, with numbers? It was massively confusing. It was the one thing that I was like, I don't think I'm tracking this, coach, and I'm not feeling the spirit, the neon Dion spirit on this one.
I think numbers are as big a deal to these athletes as anything.
So he's definitely using them as capital. And so the whole video was him going, who wants to be number 17? The guy stands up and he's like, or no, he goes, Johnson, stand up. What number you? What number you want? That's what he said. He goes, 17. He goes, all right, who else wants to be 17? And so the guy stands up and he goes, all right, you got to beat him. You know? and then he goes, all right, so who, Smith, who you? What number you want? And he goes, 31. And he's like, all right, who else wants to be 31? All right, so you'll probably get that number. It was trying to be this motivating thing, and it was kind of halfway working. I get these guys want to be those numbers.
Yeah.
And look, speaking of 19s, Juju Smith-Schuster and you.
Nothing wrong with that.
You talk about how freaked out. But why would the kids be more worried about numbers these days than they would kind of in 80
time? Oh, no, I don't think it's different today than
it was
then. I just think it's that way in general.
Yeah.
There's something about – it's like it's like putting on your Superman suit or your superhero suit. You know, that number is like having a cape, or that number is like, having the ability to, you know, I don't know, swim underwater, whatever.
And some of these guys would have been wearing it forever. And
yeah,
so.
And so it's that, you know, Captain America has shown up here in his number one. But then some guys go, you know, that was an old number. That was an old situation. I want to make a new change.
A little fresh
I
want start.
To move to another thing. And for me, I was like, nope, that's my number.
No,
that's my identity. That's
so did
I
you
am.
When you went to Baltimore, was Johnny Unitas' number wasn't retired.
With the Baltimore Colts that had moved to
Indianapolis. Oh, so they were technically still. So is number 19 hanging up in the rafters there in Indianapolis or what?
Yeah.
Oh. But you had to intersect with them at some point. Or you didn't have to. I think you just kind of – didn't you meet with him just out of like –
Who, Johnny Unitas?
Yeah.
No, we had lunch together.
You had lunch? And you said, yeah. Would you be offended if I wore
Multiple
19?
Times, actually.
Oh.
We hung out. He was
soft
kind
shell
of,
crabs, the blue crab?
Actually, we did eat at a pretty amazing restaurant. But
that's something I've never had. I've eaten all the seafood on the planet, but I'm a West Coast guy. Ate Dungeness crab. And
Oh, you've missed out on it.
I know.
It's kind of about the same.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Dungeness is kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
His deal was, I don't care about the number. Like, to him, it meant nothing. And it was the fans. They were like, this is a defamation of his character.
How
that
dare you?
You would wear this.
So were people upset when you were wearing it?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
The Ravens were like, man, we're so happy and proud you're wearing this. Way to go. Way to stand up for yourself. We're sick of these Colts fans. We want our own identity.
Tell me what you think of this. The Lions have picked up C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who's one of the better defenders off of this NFC champion Eagles team this last year. And he gets to a new team. He goes to the Lions. I think a lot of guys cash in, you know, after they have a big season. They're on the big stage. And he goes to Detroit, and I think Detroit is in a really good spot. Dan Campbell, you know, obviously
a lot of folks like him.
Tons of they're going to be like this dark horse pick that everybody's going to have, and so then it's not really a dark horse pick anymore. But he says that this Detroit roster is actually a little bit better than the Eagles. Now, he was at the Eagles, obviously. He's coming to a new team. Is that just kind of new team talk?
No,
trying to motivate some people?
Actually, so when I went to Cincinnati, I go – there's more talent on this team than on a lot of other teams I played that, like in Detroit, that went to the playoffs. Or even, like, when I was in my – like, if you're a team that's always picking in the top 10 every single year in the draft, then you're going to end up with a lot of good players.
Yeah.
And it's so much about how those players are utilized, how they're coached. That doesn't surprise me in the least bit. I've seen lesser talented teams – do a whole lot more than teams that were more that doesn't shock me at all.
I just think it's funny because he's like, if you go to a new team, you're not going to go, yeah, we're not as good, and it's going to take a while. I mean, we've heard that too. So I guess setting this kind of thing up might make you a little too, maybe the expectations start to go a little bit too high again. But
well, think about the Eagles when they basically built their team through the draft. So it's hard to say, oh yeah, these guys were really good, because they're still establishing how good they really are. Like, that defensive front for Philadelphia is pretty darn good.
Yes.
But it's a team. It's a lot of players that not a lot of people really knew much about. And Jalen Hurts was – I mean, that one just came out of the blue. So they're you know, and so when you have a team like that, you know, you got to win games. You got to establish yourself as going, oh, these guys are pretty good.
Next up on the old NFL roundup here, Scott, I was actually like – oh, I'm going to go back a little bit to something we talked about yesterday. We are obsessed with Gwyneth Paltrow's ski.
It's interesting.
And remember those glasses I said yesterday? I go, dude, those are kind of weird 80s glasses.
Yes.
Everybody and their dog pointed out that she's wearing Jeffrey Dahmer's glasses from the 80s. And sure enough, they're the exact frames that looks like that the serial mass murderer.
So I haven't watched or really paid attention to any of this. You know?
I still don't get it.
And it's one of those things where – there's part of me that makes me feel like, is someone taking a swipe at celebrity? You know, they're trying to take advantage of, here's some deep pockets. I'm really going to go to town with this. And is it this celebrity going, this is unjustified. I'm not going to take this. I'm going to stand up for myself. Or is it like, you know, kind of this out of touch with reality celebrity kind of thing? I don't know what it is, right? So I don't. I can't make a comment on it other than I think it's really strange when we have these people that
are kind of in that fourth dimension. You know, they're not real, you know, and you see them in a real setting. And I think you look at them different. You know, you think of Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. You know, that was just a circus beyond anything. And, of course, OJ. I mean, that was just.
And
because you never expect people that to be like train wrecks.
Well, we actually had this discussion the other day. I think you were in an NFL locker room, right, when the OJ trial kind of came down, or when the verdict came down. I was in Spanish class in high school.
Right.
And we were listening to it on the radio, right?
Yeah.
And so it's kind of the whole world had kind of paused to that verdict. And I remember just thinking, oh, my gosh, this is the biggest deal. I am going to remember forever where I was in Spanish class in high school when OJ was found not guilty. And sure enough, still remember it to this day. OJ's still, by the way, pumping out Twitter videos and TikTok videos like every day.
I think OJ's the most forgotten person.
Really?
I
think he's doing everything he can to not be forgotten.
I know, but I don't think anybody's really tuning in. I really don't. There may be a fringe of society, but I just think it's like, yeah, we've turned off the noise on that dial there. We're not really interested.
All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back, and when we do, we have our two-minute drill, and then we're getting you ready for this Jazz-Timberwolves game tonight at Vivint Smart Home Arena. Stay right here. You'll get the coverage. Jake Scott and Tim Lacombe, of course, going to bring that to you in the pregame, and then the voice of the Utah Jazz, David Locke, and, of course, his broadcast partner, Ron Boone, going to take over with that as well. It's all right here on the home of the Utah Jazz, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies.
Y'all ready?
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
Presented by G2G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All righty, sports fans, welcome back. It is Unrivaled 97.5 KSL Sports Zone. I'm Scott Mitchell. He's Alex Keery. That music is NFL related. Well, we're getting down to the end of it here, and it's time for that old two-minute drill. But before we get started, we have a little delay in the action.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to check out that new lineup at Jerry Seiner Cadillac. It's definitely not your grandpa's Cadillac. That's Jerry Seiner Cadillac. All right, you ready for the two-minute drill?
Absolutely.
All right, we got to hurry because we don't have a lot of time. Shohei Ohtani strikes out Angels teammate and Team USA captain Mike Trout to secure the 3-2 Team Japan victory in the 2023 World Baseball Classic.
Yeah.
Now, I haven't paid attention to a single pitch kinda of this, but I think this is really cool.
No, I was glad that I mean, that's awesome because this was on U.S. soil, so it's, you know, ostensibly a home tournament. You know, I think that we just kind of think to ourselves, man, Team USA, they're at home. They should be winning this thing, especially when Dominican Republic's not in.
Yeah.
Puerto Rico's out. Cuba got eliminated. You know,
Venezuela's
out. And so then you go, okay, Japan has absolutely mowed through people this tournament. And when you saw Shohei Ohtani getting up and it was for just one last out, you knew, man, this is likely going to tip that direction. What was really cool about this, I thought, Scott, was Pedro Martinez after the game, they have Shohei Ohtani come over to the table, and Pedro Martinez goes, I just want to say something. He's like, I want to, on behalf of everyone in baseball, and if they don't agree with me, then they're wrong, but I want to say on behalf of all of baseball, I'm so appreciative for what you've done for this game. Talking to Pedro Martinez.
Wow.
He goes, what you've done for this game has changed it. And it has become even more special. And what you're doing is insane. And I thought that was a really cool thing. You could tell he was trying to, like, you have Pedro Martinez with a pretty thick accent. And then you have Shohei Ohtani, who kind of toggles between being pretty good, you know, on the English side of things. But, it was really cool to see this guy who is one of the best at his craft ever telling this other guy, you're doing something so beyond what is normally asked of baseball players, and you're changing the game. When you have somebody like this, because people have tried this type of thing before, right? I'm a pitcher, but I also hit really well. And then they get in, you go, you don't have, you can't
you
do
gotta
both.
Pick one.
You can't do both.
Yeah.
And now you can do both. And these guys, you're going to see it now because a guy like Shohei Ohtani's changed it. Just add it to the long list of things that make him, you know, and it's interesting. A guy striking out an MVP, striking out another former MVP, that's pretty darn cool.
I think it, I mean, we've talked about Shohei Ohtani a lot and how it's incredible what he's doing. I mean, and you just go, why are you so reluctant, Major League Baseball, to accept this and to just, you know, why does it have to be the way that it is? He's an amazing talent. It's fun to watch. It's fun. I mean, I've always been a fan of his and always cheered that he would be able to do this. And I personally just love when people kind of fly in the face of conventional wisdom and they just say,
so
I'll show you.
I saw actually something today and I thought, oh, I got to bring this up to Scott, and I just remembered it, so I'm glad. It was actually about the possibility of what his worth could be. And this writer last night after the whole thing went down said, Shohei Ohtani deserves to be the first person in sports history to mark it down for a $1 billion contract. That he deserves a $1 billion contract. You go 10 years, a billion, 13 years, $1 billion, Scott. If you did that, now here's the thing, though. The whole thing was, if you worked in, one of the best pitchers in the game, the highest paid pitcher is Max Scherzer, $44 million a year. Highest paid hitter, Aaron Judge at $41 million. So you get that to $83, $84 million a year.
For 13 years.
And you're talking about the first $1 billion contract maybe.
Wow.
The guy. And you know what? You'd be stupid to not do it, right?
Well, yeah. And even if it's like maybe slightly discounted, you know, to like 65 because it – you know, you go, hey, you're getting a twofer in one player.
Right.
You know, so Shohei goes, look, I'm going to give you a little discount, okay? I'll go to $70 million.
Today only.
But yeah, you got to act now.
Act now, today only. You can get me for $780 million rather than the...
And then you could add another player, and you kind of get a, you know, or maybe there's another Shohei Ohtani out there that you could find in and instead of having, you know, like 25 players on your team, you have like 12.
Here's the thing is he's 28, so he's not 23, not 22, and that makes a difference. I think what you – more likely, I think you'll see the guy get $50 million, though. He'll be the first $50 million a year guy in baseball, and he – I mean, he deserves it, absolutely. Japan, world champs, beating USA yesterday 3-2. Two measly solo home runs out of Trey Turner was the only thing we got from Team USA. So there you go. We have time for...
I think we're about done.
We are about done. Okay. Okay. For Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery, Jeremy hitting the buttons. You've got Jazz pregame coming up right here around the corner. You don't want to miss it. Jake Scott, Tim Lacombe going to carry you into the game tonight between the Portland Trailblazers and the Utah Jazz over at Vivint Smart Home Arena. For all those guys, we'll chat with you next time, everybody. Thanks for being with us.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.